Koppel's devotional Bible carries a story of the man who came down from the Carolina mountains one day. He was all dressed up and carrying his Bible. A friend saw him and asked, "Elias, what's going on? Where are you going all dressed up like that?" Elias said, "I've been hearing about New Orleans. I hear that there is a lot of free running liquor and a lot of gambling and other interesting troubles there." The friend looked him over and said, "But Elias, why are you carrying your Bible under your arm?" Elias answered, "Well, if it is as good as they say it is, I might stay over until Sunday." Who is a true Christian? Could we tell apart by an appearance? Not quite. Could we tell apart who is strong in faith or who is not so strong? It is not so easy to differentiate them when everything is peaceful and easygoing. Genuineness of one's faith is revealed through crisis. The pandemic has certainly been a time of tests. Many would ask, if God exists, why would He allow such a worldwide health disaster? People who have lost jobs, health, and even their loved ones would question, if God is loving and caring, how could He allow such a heartbreak? Good news is, there are other groups of people who are trying to seek God instead of doubting and running away from God during the crisis. According to a recent poll, the pandemic makes people feel insecure about their future and causes them to look for messages of hope and encouragement. As a result, a sale of the Bible has increased. Both Christians and non-Christians have become more interested in afterlife. According to Pew Research, 55 of Americans are praying for the containment of the virus. 15% of those who never prayed before and 24% of non-religious people are now praying. Google search agrees with this new phenomenon. After the pandemic began, people began searching about coronavirus, followed by faith, God, the Bible, and prayer. Before the pandemic, a popular search used to be related to entertainments and sports. During the 9/11, people were searching for similar themes, but a frequency of the search during the pandemic surpassed that of the 9/11. An article in LA Times says people search for deeper meaning in the devastating outbreak. Overall, 82% of Americans says they believe in God, and 26% of Americans say their sense of faith or spirituality has grown stronger as a result of the outbreak. These groups of the believers are not the only ones who seek God during the crisis. There are clouds of witnesses who sought and met God in person during difficult times. In the Bible, we see rather an unusual believer who sought God during his personal crisis. His name is Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylonian Empire. among a lot of non-Jews recorded in the Bible, Nebuchadnezzar is the most prominent Gentile. Stories about him appeared in 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. The first four chapters of the book of Daniel were written mostly about Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. Daniel's prophecy about the end times is related to Nebuchadnezzar's dream, which appears in the book of Revelation. The scripture this morning shed light on why Nebuchadnezzar was so prominent. He was born in 634 BC in Chaldea. Interestingly, he shared the same hometown with Abraham. Genesis 11 says, Haran, Abraham's brother and Lot's father, was born and died in Ur of Chaldees. Abraham received a call from God to leave Ur of Chaldees and move to Canaan. Chaldea was located in the ancient Mesopotamia, known to us as the cradle of civilization. His father, Nebuchadnezzar's father, was Nabopolassar, the first king of Babylon. It is why Nebuchadnezzar is commonly known as Nebuchadnezzar II. After his father's death, Nebuchadnezzar ascended to the throne in 605 BC. Nebuchadnezzar's name means O Nabu, which is the Babylonian god, protect my son, or my boundary, according to the New International Encyclopedia of the Bible characters. His name gives away a hint of why he set up his statue and asked people to worship it. Against Nebuchadnezzar's decree, Daniel and his friends continued to worship God of Israel. Daniel's three friends were soon ordered to be thrown into a fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar saw the fourth person in the blazing furnace walking around with Daniel's friend. That fourth person supposedly God or the Messiah. He made a decree to punish anyone who would speak blasphemy against God of Israel. Nebuchadnezzar was the greatest and the most powerful king of the Babylonian Empire. He was expanding his empire and wanted to annex Egypt, but the kings of Israel unwisely sided with Egypt and revolted against the Babylonian rule. Consequently, Nebuchadnezzar attacked Judah and dethroned kings, took them to Babylon, and put an end to the nation. Nebuchadnezzar, from this perspective, was an enemy to the nation of Israel. But according to the prophet Ezekiel and Jeremiah, he was an instrument of God, chosen to carry out God's will over the evildoers. Nebuchadnezzar was an intelligent king who imported outstanding civilizations from surrounding countries. When he exiled people from Israel, he only chose elites, such as all the officers, all the craftsmen and artisans. Among the intelligent Jews were Daniel and his friend. At the beginning of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had a very troubling dream and asked his wise men to interpret it without telling what his dream was. Enraged by that no one was able to figure out and interpret his dream, he ordered to kill all the wise men. And God revealed Nebuchadnezzar's dream to Daniel at stake. Daniel interpreted, and his dream was about a great statue made up of differing metals. Theologians agree that the four metals represent Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And specifically, talking about the Rome, Daniel, the book of Daniel says that God is going to raise a throne that would last forever. And that's a specific prophecy about the coming Messiah. And we know that now, during the Roman Empire, Jesus came, the Messiah. So exactly as the prophecy of Daniel. And see that the Nebuchadnezzar and the Messiah had an interesting connection in there. After Daniel's interpretation, this heathen king recognized God of Daniel, saying, "Truly your God is God of gods, Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries." Then Nebuchadnezzar had a second dream in which he heard the holy watcher from heaven. Daniel interpreted his dream again and said that Nebuchadnezzar became too great and strong, that he would be removed from his throne and live like a wild animal. He was at the very peak of glory of his life. His kingdom became the greatest on the face of the earth. Nebuchadnezzar had everything his heart desired. But as exactly as Daniel interpreted his dream, he lost his health and sound mind one day. He could not function as a king anymore. He left his throne and lived like a wild animal. There is one important description of crisis here. Crisis comes from our weakness unexpectedly. No one is perfect, and everyone has one or two or more weaknesses, which could ruin life so easily and fast. And of course, our common weakness is our health. Providentially, this tragedy had a happy ending. He recovered his mental capacity and was restored back to his throne. The very key to that restoration was that he humbled himself and sought God and acknowledged the sovereign God of Israel. Let us look at the fate of the nation of Israel and the life of Nebuchadnezzar from crisis perspective. The prophet Jeremiah was nicknamed as a weeping prophet. He wept over the downfall of Jerusalem and his nation. But during the national crisis, prophet Jeremiah saw the mighty hand of God working in Israel through that heathen king. Demise of Jerusalem did not mean that God lost control. It rather proved the opposite. Now it was Nebuchadnezzar's turn. He praised God after Daniel interpreted his first dream, but later did not humble himself before God, and therefore was removed from his throne. As God showed in his dream, God restored him back to his throne. His personal crisis clearly demonstrated who truly was in charge. He was the most powerful king on the face of the earth. But the actual ruler of the earth and the universe was God Almighty, he confessed. One popular name of God that the people of Israel used was El Shaddai, God Almighty, or All-Sufficient God. In the praise and the confession that Nebuchadnezzar made to God of Israel, we could see the same El Shaddai who had the full control over his crisis. El Shaddai, we believe, is purposeful. He controls and uses every circumstance to fulfill his will today, as he did in the days of ancient Israel and Babylon. History is his story. As Nebuchadnezzar did, we should go to El Shaddai during personal, national, and worldwide crisis and humble ourselves before him and ask him to get us out of our crisis. Ignatius of Loyola founded the Jesuit, the Society of Jesus, with Peter Faber and Francis Xavier in 1540. Ignatius said to his followers to go out and find God in all things, which still remains the signature spirituality of the Jesuits. As Ignatius said, we find God in all things, in joy and in pain, in our success and failure, in our happiness and in our crisis. If we find God in our crisis, then we are not exactly in crisis, are we? So instead of being in despair, let us find out what God's will and plan is during bad times. From the faith perspective, God allows crisis to redirect us, to teach us, and even to bless us. Therefore, celebration of our life should continue even during the pandemic. For El Shaddai, God Almighty, is in charge. Amen.